Well, I'll tell you stories later about myself. Have you ever so-called knowingly violated what they wanted? Of all those who have, let's raise our hands. Okay. All those who have not raised their hand have lied. Raise your hand. I have. Okay, I'm raising both hands for all of us, right? We all have violated and not done what somebody we cared about, loved, who's in authority, who's above us, right? Have you? Think about that. Just think, well, come on. Work with me a little, okay? How did you feel when you violated what your parents said? They clearly told you, don't do it. And there you go. Done. You did it. The teacher said, this is what you're supposed to do. And lo and behold, you didn't do it. Right? Your husband and wife says, honey, make sure you do did. And then end of the day, it's not done. The garbage is still there. The garage is still clean. The clothes is not done. The kids hasn't been washed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right? In those moments, how did you feel? I felt horrible. Horrible. Let me just tell you, well, today's topic is about confession. All right? So let me start off with a confession. My wife, Shirley, really loves me, and she notices that sometimes, confession, I take out my phone when I'm driving. Sometimes I answer my phone when I'm driving. Confession, don't judge me. All right? Recently, as recent as last month, I was on College Point Boulevard, all right? I was going to see my friend who's a dentist, and I was just turning around the corner, and I was dialing their number, so if I go, I'm coming by, I want to know if you want Starbucks, all right? You know the rest of the story. Cop pulled me over. I was nervous as heck. Nothing more nerve-wracking to me than a siren behind you flashing lights. That's me, okay? I moved over. So, all right, so naturally, she goes, you know what you did? He goes, yeah. All right? Because I was about to stick it on this thing. He goes, well, you should have done it. All right? So naturally, I got a ticket. 5 points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 5 points and $130 some odd. This is ridiculous because the ticket was 55. The surcharge is 85. I don't get it. All right? But that's not the bad part. The bad part is the 5 points. The worst part is now I have to go home. Tell my wife, who have told me many, 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 many times, not to answer my phone when I drive, right? Number one, she's concerned for my safety. Number two, she's concerned for her safety, right? But I have sinned against my wife. So when I got to the office, my friend's office, right, I was a nervous wreck, right? It was terrible. Actually, somebody even offered who knew me, who actually knew somebody, who says, do you want me to give it to that person to help you take care of the ticket? Very tempting. I was tempted, actually, but I said no. All right? So I paid the ticket. 5 points will hit mine. So now I'm really afraid to talk to my wife, Shirley. But I said, I know I have to. I have to confess. So after I did everything I had to and calmed myself down, I says, honey, first thing I said, I love you very much. You know I love you. He goes, okay. And she goes, what did you do? She knows, right? He goes, I'm really sorry. This is bad. I said, really bad, right? Then I told her I got you know, a ticket. And I had to tell her why. But by the grace of God, all right, she didn't yell at me. She just said, I'm just thankful that you're safe and no one got hurt. To this, my surprise, my confession, which was so intense and so nerve-wracking, such as some of you when you're in trouble, and you've been there, I've been there. Sadly, I've been there more often than I like to admit. But the grace of my wife, when I confess, really healed me. Secondly, before that, before I confessed to her, I was really distant from her because I was really, actually, I was afraid of what she might say, right? But the confession, the admittance that surely you were right, I was wrong. I was wrong in doing that, was very helpful for me. So that's my story of beginning to touch upon our confession with this awesome, mighty God who talks about being just and being right. And Jeff mentioned his forgiveness for us is both judicial and parental. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. So let's go to our scripture, okay? And stop judging me now, okay, guys? All right. So if we can read together, all right, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10 together, all right? Let's read together. You have your Bibles? Yes, come on. I know you guys do, right? I'll give you a minute to bring out your Bibles. The first part is about his incarnation, all right? From 1 to verse 4 is about Christ's incarnation before the disciples and before all men, all right? And the second part is talking about walking in the light and the forgiveness of sin, all right? So let's read together. Got your Bibles? Excellent. That which was from the beginning, which had been heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hand, or touch, this we proclaim, concealing the word of life. Yeah. Great. Right. This is the message we have heard from the hymn, declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we have confessed our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. His word is no place in our hearts. Whew. May God bless the reading of this powerful word. So before we go into confession, we just have to touch upon what is sin. And I think you have been really great Sunday school students and led by a great Sunday school teacher, all right? So how would you define sin, just really by yourself, really? Now, I'm not going to give a deep theological explanation. That would be Dan's, you know, when he breaks out his thesis paper on the theology of sin. But today, we're going to have a simple definition of sin so we can remember what sin is. And I think you all know already. So just shout out, what is your definition of sin? I am sure that is pretty correct.
Doing something wrong.
Really good. All right. This side, because this side's kind of more verbal than you guys. Come on. Missing the mark, exactly. All right, missing whose mark? Yeah, that's it. It's simply that. Okay, you guys answer perfectly, my right and the left together. Let's look at what I come together as a simple conclusion to what is the definition of sin. They said doing something wrong. Jose says missing the mark, all right? So what is sin? Is it a definition A definition of sin is doing what is wrong. Ta-da, bingo. All right? Or not doing what is right according to God's law, to miss the mark of God's holy standard of righteousness. See, you guys are great. Doing something wrong or not doing something as right, which you know that God calls you to, right? And missing the mark that God calls us to a holy standard. So with that definition, that means I sin probably most every single day, probably, sadly, multiple times. And I want to be honest. I want to be free. I want to be real. So I invite you to be okay, to embrace your sins so you can have a genuine, helpful confession. It's okay we so-called do wrong, but it's more important what we do when we do wrong, as I unpack this. You making a mistake is not the end. It's actually very hopeful because of Christ. And that hopefully at the end, you're going to fall back in love with Jesus Christ, because forgiveness is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to come full circle. All right? Next slide. Okay? What are some of the consequences of sin?
Get yelled at.
Okay.
Death.
All right. Yes, spiritual death. Good. Okay. Really good. Now, this is my top hit list for the consequences of sin. All right? Number uno on the board. What do you think is the top consequence of, if you were playing Family Feud, this side against that side? What's your?
Oh.
Eternal pain, torture. Close, but no cigar. That's pretty good. No. This side gets a chance. Now we go to this family. What is the top consequence of top consequence of our sin?
Separation from God.
There you go. 1.0. We're gonna catch up, okay? Top consequence of our sin is you have to clicker? I'm sorry I woke you up. There you go. Oops. Okay, that's okay. Point goes to this side for exposing the answer. Okay, no. Sorry. Okay. Top consequence that really breaks my heart and hopefully will break yours is that we get distance. We're separated from God. Just as when I got the ticket, I was a little bit separated. Not that, no. See, get this. Shirley didn't leave me, all right? She did not leave me. Oh, yeah, thank God, yes. Right. Oh, yeah. It's hard finding another wife. No, just kidding. I see, that's why I don't want this recorded. All right. Listen, no. See, when I got the ticket, I was afraid. Shirley still loves me. Shirley would not forsake me just because I got a ticket, but I was distant from her because I did something wrong that I clearly knew that she didn't want me to do. Just like with God, God is not gonna forsake you because you sin. There is a theology that all Christians in Christ Jesus, all the sin has been forgiven. All the sin has been forgiven. All right? But there is a sub-theology under that, is that you need to continue to confess your sin. That's a mystery. All your sins have already been forgiven, but you need to continue to confess your sin. Both are true. But let me just unpack this a little bit more. So the first consequence, or the most top sad consequence for me, is when I sin against God, is that I'm distant from him, and he feels distant from me. Second one is separation from other people. All right? If you sin against your brother, right? You did something wrong to your fellow Christian. You did something wrong against God that actually causes you to separate. You lie to God and you lie to your friend about something. You feel like you need to hide from them. Maybe you were too embarrassed not to go to their party. He goes, oh, I have to study, but actually I didn't want to go. All right? Lying or sin against each other also causes separation from fellow believers and actually other just people in general if you violate God's mark for us. Sin does not, when we sin against each other, even non-Christians, it does separate. When you lie to your non-Christian friends, it actually still separates you. Okay. Okay, for the winning round, This is tough. That's why I'm going to give it a winning round to the next. Anybody who can get the next two answer. What else are the consequences of our sins? Tough. This is tough. They are consequences. I'm going to give you a hint to the people who went camping. Ooh. When we sin, it has ramifications against what too?
Nature?
Yeah. When we sin, we don't honor God's creation. We disrupt, we are actually damaging the created order of God. We are created to be good stewards of God's resources, the natural resources, all right? We're not to be hoarding it, not to be greedy, but if we do that, we actually have a consequences of disrupting the creative nature, the beauty of God, all right? We have seen certain companies disregard certain third world countries by so-called even strip mining or doing other things for the sake of profit, but unconcerned about the population there sometimes. That's not what God would probably be pleased with in the creative order of things, all right? God's creative order is that nature is a profound blessing for provision of many, not to make a corporation wealthy, right? So if you sin against by being too greedy, nature is actually disrupted in a way. So next, that's pretty good. Who got that? This one. They win. So you should be proud of them, though. Good Sunday school. Oh, yeah. Okay, last one. It's going to be really hard. Actually, so hard I forgot. Okay, let's just show it. There it goes. Separation from ourself. When we sin, we get separated from ourselves too. The easiest way I can put it is when you sin, you know deep down you don't like yourself very much. When you're greedy, when you're self-centered, when you're arrogant, you're prideful, you're boastful, all right, and say it's all about me, right? You take more than your share, all right? Even you have it. Deep down, you don't feel that good about yourself. You're surrounded by all these material things and all the things that you can gain by being self-centered and possibly sometimes manipulative because you're smarter and faster than the other person. But when you're alone, you feel a little bit separated from yourself because that doesn't seem so right all the time. So sin actually separates you from yourself. Paul had that struggle in Romans. He goes, the good I do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, I'm so confused. It seems like there's two natures. Yes, because sin is at work. So we need to battle sin appropriately by using the gift of confession. All right? King David in Psalm 20. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. I groaned all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Wow. When you confess that, there is almost something lifted off King David. When I confessed to Shirley, there was something lifted off me. And when you and I confess, we get reacquainted with ourselves in a healthy way, not like our energy sapped like the heat summer day. So there's four disconnections. The most vital is disconnection with God, disconnection with people, disconnection with the creative order, and separation from ourselves. So I hope I've scared you a little bit to desire your confession. A little bit. So you don't want this weight, because if you have this weighing on you, actually, it has mental and actually sometimes physical manifestations. Right? When you're stressed and you carry too much anxiety and you don't have a way to really confess or let somebody know and let somebody into your life, that can actually physically wear you down. Sometimes actually people get depressed. Actually, sometimes people physically would have fevers and get sick. So just a reality check. Confession, as they say, is good for the soul and it's good for the body. All right. Let us move on. What is confession? Simple terminology. What do you think confession is? That's good. But what does it look like for you to confess your sin? Yes, it is confessing your sin.
Telling the person that you sinned.
That's good. Telling the person what you did. And I'll couple it with the answer you gave earlier. Telling the person what you did wrong. Right? That I admit I did it wrong to you. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at a simple but hopefully easy way to remember what confession is. Next. Confession is the acknowledgement of my wrongs, or wrong, you know, maybe one wrong, I did many wrongs, all right? And declaring my agreement with God. The second part is very important. Declaring my agreement to God. Saying, what you say, God, about my sin is true. What you say about your love is true. You're confessing God at the same time. They go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. It ought not to be separated. In this sense, all right, like I said to Shirley, I was wrong in picking up the phone. And I confess, I agree with Shirley. What you told me was really good. I shouldn't have picked up the phone. I used the phone. I agree with Shirley. And the same thing with God. When you confess to God, you have to tell God what you did wrong. What specifically you violated his law, your conscience, his desire for your good desires. The things that you sense him leading you to do, but you refuse to do it because you know you didn't want to do it. So the wrong you have done and the good you did not do, you can actually say, God, I did it, and I agree with you that maybe I shouldn't have done that. I want to repent. And maybe, God, now give me the strength because I agree with you. What you asked me to do is good. I agree with you. Right? So it's a telling the what you have done wrong and agreeing with what God has said about the matter. All right. Okay. What? Good, thanks. What's my place? What's next? Let's see. Okay. Back to the passage that really drives us home, the second part of 1 John chapter 1. Okay. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. Basically, earlier part, I talk about Jesus' incarnation. So he got this message, right, John, from Jesus, all right? In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. It really is because of the blood of Jesus that we can have forgiveness after confession. And let me just give you a background again about 1 John. 1 John was written for the purpose. There was some bad teaching, as I mentioned to you one time. There was some incorrect teaching called a Gnostic teaching that was going around in that early church. And John was writing this letter to say, no, this is the correct doctrine. This is the correct understanding of Jesus. This is the correct understanding of God's will. This is what it means to be a true Christian, not according to these wrong doctrines. Remember the first one, the first sign that you're a true Christian is what? Some of you got to remember.
Save.
But manifestation of your salvation is, starts with L.
Love.
I know, like that. I got so many songs. Yes. The first manifestation You cannot say, I love God and hate your brother. That's not possible. That's a duality that cannot coexist. So you say you love God, you have to grow more loving towards your brother. Not perfectly, but you have to be growing in love. So the first sign, because in this church there was a lot of gifts, but there was not a lot of loves. The people who proclaimed that they were true Christian, they were not very loving, and they were teaching a different gospel. So John says, no, one of the true marks of a Christian is, yes, you are in Christ, but a manifestation of a true believer is that your love is growing and your love for your brother is growing. And the second one, all right, is that you also, not second, but one of the other marks that you are a true Christian, is that you are, in the second part of 8, if we confess our sins, all right, he is faithful and just. We will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is not a command to tell you. It's actually saying, if you are a true Christian, you will live a life of confession. Simply put, all right, if you are a bird, you are going to what? Fly. If you are a fish, you're going to? If you are a Christian, you are going to confess. Huh? No, you guys are. Let's try this again. If you are a bird, you're going to fly. If you're a fish, you're going to swim. If you're a Christian, you're going to confess your sins. Exactly. This passage is not telling you as a command. There's other places that tells you that you need to confess your sin. In this particular passage, it is not. He's saying, if you are a true Christian, if you walk in the light, you proclaim that you're in Jesus Christ, you will continue and desire to confess your sin. As I mentioned earlier, the greater the theology, all your sins are forgiven. But right here, the Word of God says that if you are truly a believer, you will have a desire to continue to confess your sins. Whoa. Yes. It's a convicting, I hope. So, even if it's difficult, as a Christian, we need to confess our sins. It was not easy, I'm telling you. You saw how nervous just recounting the story of me telling my wife I got the ticket. Sometimes it's difficult. But the good news is never stops coming when you have the gospel. When you confess your sin, he is faithful. He is just and will forgive you of your sins and purify you from all righteousness. As Jeff says, both judicially and parentally. Well, there's some heavy theology around just and faithful. Let me just give you a little bit. Just. It is not just in a way that God just forgives you for your sin, is it? Because there's a cost. And as we all know, that cost was paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we see that he actually really loved us so much that he gave his life for us, he paid the price, then it makes God just to forgive you for your sins. Because if Jesus Christ paid for your sins, it is just for God to forgive you for your sin. It causes me to fall in love with Jesus even more, to adore him for what he has really done. Because this confession to be full and this forgiveness to be full was at the cost of our Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't come cheap. So take it somewhat with great, profound joy that you are able to do this and that God would say, when you confess your sins, it will be forgiven. Wow. That's good news to me. My guilt is going to be released. All right? My fellowship with God will be restored. So here are some of the benefits of confession. Okay, this was a difficult. Hopefully now it's a good part, okay? All right? Oh, you're good to know. Benefits, yes. Not like health benefits, but confession benefits, okay? I think you guys will know this pretty easily, right? What is the first benefit, come on guys, of confessing our sins?
You won't feel guilty anymore.
Nice try. Not yet. There you go. This team, all right. Yes. The top burden becomes lifted. We get restored intimacy with God. All right. Next one, if you remember, then if we confess our sins, we get to restore with our
others.
Yes. They're clobbering you guys. Come on. All right. Slow down, guys. Got to give them the chance to catch up. All right. Third. Huh? Gets good. Out of order, but we'll give them the point, right? Because you guys are leading a lot. Yes. It's the creative order. You get to restore the creative order. If you're not greedy, if you're not a glutton, you don't eat all the chicken in Costco. All the people get some chicken from Costco. Creative order is restored. All right? Right? Yeah, huh? Yeah. Don't chop the trees down just because you want to build too many mansions. Save some for people who really need a home. All right. Don't mess with the castle chickens. Right? Anyway, creative order restored. Lastly, yes, you guys know already, all right? You get to restore. You have a reconnection with yourself. Okay? Next. Okay. There's three types of confession. I know, you think confession is easy, but there is time for three types of confession. Number one, right, is confession to God. I should have did this because you guys were so good. You guys probably won more points, right? There's confession to God. You do that, what, privately. Right? You can do that privately. But there's another type of confession, right? There's confession to others. If I have sinned against Dan, all right, I need to go to him and confess to him. I would want to go to Dan and confess to him. Because ultimately, it's about a restoration of relationships. It's really not, don't focus on the sin so much. Like, oh, I got to do this to manage my sin so I look good, so I get these sin items off my plate. The reason you ultimately want to confess your sin and repent is to restore your relationship with God, with others. That's really it. Don't focus on the guilty, you know, which does it relieve, but the ultimate thing is you get the restoration of a relationship that is meaningful. Because when I have a fight with my wife, all right, thank goodness I don't have that many, right? If I have a fight with my wife and we had a big argument and we have a broken relationship, it could be a beautiful day like this, okay? I could have had a bonus check. I could have went to Uniqlo and bought some really good stuff on sale. It makes me happy too. But if I had a fight with my wife and we're disconnected, all that stuff doesn't seem to matter so much. Because ultimately, we're designed for relationship with God, with relationship with others. So we need to confess to God. We need to confess to others. Remember in James, it says, what? Confess your sins to one another so you will be
saved.
Nope. Confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. Yes. All right. That you might be healed. So you can confess to God, but there is a time and there's a place and there's a power to confessing your sins to one another. I'll give you one example. You might not understand this, but this I might. The sin of pornography. Many men struggle with that, honestly. Many times they confess it to God. They confess it to God. They keep on confessing to God sometimes. Some of them get free. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can come and lift that burden right off. But we see many times that sticky sin keeps haunting men. But I have heard many stories when they confess it to God, they actually confess it to brothers and sisters, especially brothers who are safe and receive them and encourage them. There's a power in that that releases the power and the grip of sin on them. So there's a place to confess your sins to one another. There's a strength in telling you that I'm not perfect. I do lie sometimes. I'm a people pleaser. I don't read my Bible every day. I have bad thoughts. Right? I get angry at God sometimes. I want to confess that. God, I want to be real. And there's a power in the fellowship of believers who can receive each other, not judge each other, and willing to pray for you. Because after that, it says pray for. After it says confess your sins to one another so you might be healed, and pray for each other. Don't go, hey, you know what Joey did? No, don't do that, okay? All right? You know, all right? No, you pray for that person. And then just another careful, right? And if you are going to bring it out of that concern, please tell another person that you're going to pray for them in another group just to honor that person, okay? Just a technicality. Lastly, corporate or public confession. I know that in the evangelical or non-denominational church, we don't do public confessions that much, right? Like we read, like from the Book of Common Prayers, confession. I think there is a place and a power to that as well. When we read a public confession, like, oh, merciful God, creator of heaven and earth, I have sinned against you in the deeds I have done and the deeds I have not done, all right? Forgive me, all right, for my sins, something like that. And then usually what happens right after that, I know we don't do it much, but you know, in a liturgical type of service, maybe Dan should know. Maybe I'll put him on the hot spot. What happens after that? What happened after you have a confession of sin usually? What would you like to have happen? That's good. No. You guys are brilliant. Absolutely. After you have publicly and corporately confessed your sins, there's what they call assurance of salvation. Brilliant. Yes, it says you are forgiven. Kudos to you guys. All right? So, when we do it corporately, we as a body of Christ says, yes, Lord, we don't do everything you want. We actually do a lot of things that doesn't honor you. I don't do the things that I want to do like Paul, but I do the things that I don't want to do. Please forgive me. We say it together because it shows that we are commonly bounded by the fall of sin, but we have the common grace of God at the same time. And we're not so alone. It's not so hidden. When God's grace shines upon us that way, we're not alone, we're together. You're not sinning in the darkness. You think that the person sitting next to you sins less than you? Maybe not, because the person who's the left of you thinks that you sin less than them. We all are sinning. That's not the issue, not the amount of sin. What matters is that you have a corporate God who forgives you, all right? And then you have the assurance of salvation. And this I want to bring home. This is the very important. You must go back to the assurance of salvation. I'll give you a really bad analogy I came up with. No other crazy person will come up to it. If God is up here, all right, or relationship with God is up here, right, sometimes we have to bow low, right? We have to confess our sin. But the assurance of salvation is like jumping back up and reaching for God. He doesn't want to keep us down. Oh, woe is me, you know? All right, I'm worthless. Well, that's for a part. But the assurance of salvation says, you got the love of God. I rise and I reach for the height and I bow down low in my confession. I can embrace my God. He wants to pick you up in his love. And you, after any confession, I will implore you, I almost beg you to look at the assurance of God's love for you. If you're not more in love with God after your confession, something is missing. Because that voice that you want to hear, yes, you are forgiven, is there for you. And when my wife said, that's okay, as long as you're okay and no one got hurt, I was lifted to the heights. And I go, oh, I love you. Now I really mean it. Not like I was just kind of introducing that I'm in trouble. Now I say, oh, Shirley, I love you. And that's where I want you to be after confessing your sin. I want you to be in love with Jesus Christ, in love with God, who forgives you and cleanses you from your sins. And that is the amazing God we want. And that is the gift of confession. So I hope that you will engage. When you feel like you are burdened down with your own sins, confess it to God so he can give you the assurance of salvation to lift you in the heights of his arms. So I just gave you a simple, I'll give a real quick example, all right? This is a very common one from the Book of Common Prayers, all right? Is it okay if we read it together? If you're not comfortable, you don't have to, all right? Okay, so I'm going to read it together. If you feel comfortable reading it, all right? And if you don't mean this, you don't have to pray it. But if you want to mean it, ask God, because Holy Spirit, give me the integrity to want to really mean this prayer. But if you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to. Okay? So I'm going to read it. Okay? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and in deed. By what we have done, by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we are humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your men. Amen. Okay. You guys did great. Now, what's next? Okay, next. Listen up. All right. Assurance of pardon. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 1 Peter 15. Let's read it together. Hear the good news. The Savior is sure and worthy of full acceptance. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. Wow. Good. Being Asian, we don't get affirmations too often. So what I did, I'm going to have two assurances for us. Whoa. All right. Another one, guys. Next. In Christ Jesus, there is a new creation. The old life has passed away. Everything has become new. All this is from God, who has reconciled to us himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We need this assurance. God does not want to keep you down. He wants to lift you up. He doesn't, actually, confession is his desire to not have sin keep you down, but to lift you up. All right, let's close in prayer. Mighty God, you are amazing. You are the faithful one. You are the perfect one. In your great love to Jesus Christ our Lord, you gave us the ability to confess our sins and have our sins forgiven. And Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will convict us of our sins and grant us the courage to run to you, to confess to you, to confess to each other, to corporately confess. And after that, run into your arms of assurance that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and your love is before us, that we are your own. For you have reconciled us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you and praise you, for you are this good God. In the name of Jesus, amen.